Ellie Sattler stepped outside the front door to the lodge and felt the chilly mist on her face and legs. Her heart was thumping, even though she knew she was completely safe behind the fence. Directly ahead, she saw the heavy bars in the fog. But she couldn't see much beyond the fence, another 20 yards before the landscape turned milky white. And she didn't see any raptors at all. In fact, the gardens and trees were almost eerily silent.
"Hey!"
she shouted into the fog, tentatively. Muldoon leaned against the doorframe.
"I doubt that'll do it," he said. "You got to make a noise."
He hobbled out carrying a steel rod from the construction inside. He banged the rod against the bars like a dinner gong.
"Come and get it! Dinner is served!"
"Very amusing," Ellie said. She glanced nervously toward the roof. She saw no raptors.
"They don't understand English," Muldoon grinned, "but I imagine they get the general idea."
She was still nervous and found his humor annoying. She looked toward the visitor building cloaked in the fog. Muldoon resumed banging on the bars. At the limit of her vision, almost lost in the fog, she saw a ghostly pale animal, a raptor.
"First customer," Muldoon said.
The raptor disappeared, a white shadow, and then came back, but it did not approach any closer, and it seemed strangely incurious about the noise coming from the lodge. She was starting to worry. Unless she could attract the raptors to the lodge, Grant would be in danger.
"You're making too much noise," Ellie said.
"Bloody hell," Muldoon said.
"Well, you are."
"I know these animals."
"You're drunk," she said. "Let me handle it."
"And how will you do that?"
She didn't answer him. She went to the gate.
"They say the raptors are intelligent."
"They are, at least as intelligent as chimps."
"They have good hearing?"
"Yes, excellent."
"Maybe they'll know this sound," she said, and opened the gate.
The metal hinges, rusted from the constant mist, creaked loudly. She closed it again, opened it with another creak. She left it open.
"I wouldn't do that," Muldoon said. "You're going to do that, let me get the launcher."
"Get the launcher,"
he sighed, remembering.
"Gennaro has the shells."
"Well then," she said, "keep an eye out."
And she went through the gate, stepping outside the bars. Her heart was pounding so hard she could barely feel her feet on the dirt. She moved away from the fence, and it disappeared frighteningly fast in the fog. Soon it was lost behind her. Just as she had expected, Muldoon began shouting to her in drunken agitation.
"God damn it, girl! Don't you do that!"
he bellowed.
"Don't call me girl," she shouted back.
"I'll call you any damn thing I want," Muldoon shouted.
She wasn't listening. She was turning slowly, her body tense, watching from all sides. She was at least 20 yards from the fence now, and she could see the mist drifting like a light rain past the foliage. She stayed away from the foliage. She moved through a world of shades of gray. The muscles in her legs and shoulders ached from the tension. Her eyes strained to see.
"Do you hear me, dammit?" Muldoon bellowed.
How good are these animals, she wondered. Good enough to cut off my retreat? There wasn't much distance back to the fence, not really. They attacked. There was no sound. The first animal charged from the foliage at the base of a tree to the left. It sprang forward, and she turned to run. The second attacked from the other side, clearly intending to catch her as she ran, and it leapt into the air, claws raised to attack, and she darted like a broken field runner, and the animal crashed down in the dirt. Now she was running flat out, not daring to look back, her breath coming in deep gasps, seeing the bars of the fence emerge from the haze, seeing Muldoon throw the gate wide, seeing him reaching for her, shouting to her, grabbing her arm and pulling her through so hard she was yanked off her feet and fell to the ground, and she turned in time to see first one, then two, then three animals hit the fence and snarl.
"Good work," Muldoon shouted.
He was taunting the animals now, snarling back. And it drove them wild. They flung themselves at the fence, leaping forward, and one of them nearly made it over the top.
"Christ, that was close! These bastards can jump!"
She got to her feet, looking at the scrapes and bruises, the blood running down her leg. All she could think was three animals here and two on the roof. That meant one was still missing, somewhere.
"Come on, help me," Muldoon said. "Let's keep them interested."